'Twas the night before 5.0, when all through the house, not a blogger was stirring, not even a mouse. The WordPress core was updated with care, in hopes that St. Gutenberg soon would be there.
Matt and his team were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of WordPress danced in their heads. And Matt in his kerchief and team in their cap had just settled their brains for a long summer's nap.
When out of automatic there arose such a clatter, Matt rose from his bed to see what was the matter. Away to his computer he flew like a flash, logged into WordPress and threw up the dash.
The moon on the edge of the new fallen code gave a luster of dismay to log in once told, when what to his wondering eyes did not appear, but all his posts and pages did completely disappear.
With little old MC editor so lively and quick, Matt knew in a moment it was a St. Gutenberg trick. More rapid than eagles, his programmers they came, and Matt whistled and shouted and called them by name.
Now meta, now shortcode, now custom post and now plugin. Oh pages, oh posts, all goner, and now not even login. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now it's all gone, gone away all.
As code that before WordPress would fly, now they met with an obstacle, St. Gutenberg, oh why? So up to the remote office, the programmers they flew with a sleigh full of revisions and Mulloway too.
And then in a twinkling, Matt heard on the web that all bloggers and designers had fled. As Matt drew in his head and was turning around, into the room St. Gutenberg came with a bound. He was dressed in Armani from his head to his foot, and his clothes were as sleek as a new editor to boot.
A bundle of blocks he had flung on his back, and he looked like a coder just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. Who needs MCE when we have blocks of so many?
His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and he began to recode WordPress like no one could know. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave Matt to know he had so much to dread.
Gutenberg spoke not a word, but went straight to his work. He pulled apart WordPress, then turned with a jerk, and laying his editor aside for all to adore, and giving a nod, he pronounced Gutenberg is core.
He sprang to his car, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all drove like a launch of a missile. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, WordPress is gone, and to all Gutenberg, good night.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 283 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, August 2nd. Yes, it's August already. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Jay Tripp.
Hello.
Wow, what a hell of an intro there.
I wish we could take credit for it. Obviously, we can't. This was a very outstanding, creative, hilarious post in the WordPress.org support forums in regards to the Gutenberg editor and plugin that we've talked about on a previous episode. Maybe every episode for the past couple of weeks, we've probably talked about it a little bit. But it was in the review forums, which we don't always talk about a lot. So this is pretty funny.
It was created by Web242. It goes by the name of Dividend Ninja. It was created about a week and 4 days ago. And it's titled A Visit from St. Gutenberg, which is a play on the poem A Visit from St. Nicholas by Clement Clark Moore. And the fascinating thing about this, which makes it even more entertaining, is that it's a one-star review. And if you're well-versed in the WordPress community and you've been around, you may know that one-star reviews typically contain, you know, five words or less. It's crap. It's broken. Yeah. It doesn't work. It's incompatible. Blah, blah, blah. Very, very not useful.
Damage during reviews. Shipping.
Yes, damage during shipping. But this one in particular, it's obvious that they spent a lot of time and put in a lot of effort into this. It's very creative, and it had me laughing in tears. And in fact, Matt Mulloway himself has read it, and he has also commented that he thought it was pretty funny. So, and Matt has a pretty good sense of humor about this stuff. So I could just imagine him smiling and laughing at this. And some of the best parts about this is, you know, for me, is away to his computer, he flew like a flash, logged into WordPress and threw up the dash. I mean, when I read that the first time, I said, oh, that's genius. And then the bit about Gutenberg being dressed in Armani from head to toe, that to me was, that's incredible.
Yep. And the This is long. I mean, this is a lengthy post to write. This is a lot of rhymes, a lot of wordplay, and it matches the original poem. I mean, this is like a Hello Dolly remix. This is like a totally different take on all of it. So I'm glad we were able to open with this. I feel like sets the tone for the rest of the episode today, maybe.
Well, you know what's next now. Step two, Hello Gutenberg, plugging in a directory that takes displays a verse or a sentence or a quote from this poem, from this review.
That could be your first plugin. You don't have any plugins in the repo, do you?
Actually, yes, I do. I have one that somebody tagged me on, but I forget what it is. I forgot what it was. No idea.
This one could be yours. All yours.
Hello Gutenberg. I love this. Love this review. So what's up, everybody? This is my first week back. Last week I was on a staycation, and when you work from home as a remote worker, staycation seems kind of redundant to some people, but trust me, not every week is a staycation when you work from home. And, John was asking me, and a few other people were asking me about, how was your staycation? Are you refreshed? You revived? You ready to go? You grabbed the bull by the horns again? And yeah, some aspects, but... all in all, last week, the staycation was a bit of a drag. It was the first week vacation. I usually, we have an unlimited vacation policy for the Audrey Capital, the company I work for. And, but I feel like I'm very, how should I say this? I take the same number of weeks of vacation as my wife does at her job. So it's about three. And then I sprinkle some vacation days in throughout the year. So I think I'm a pretty good employee as I think about, well, we have an unlimited vacation policy, but I don't take advantage of it as maybe somebody else might. Mm-hmm. But I sprinkle the days in there. Anyways, so I took a week vacation yesterday, and we went to the island, Lake Erie Islands, for a day with some friends, and we spent the night out there. And that was a good time. And there was a few other moments throughout that week where, it really felt like we're on staycation. But all in all, the whole week was a bit of a bummer. And I think in many aspects it was, a combination of things, thinking about my career, professional life, but also it was the first week vacation without our dog.
Yeah.
And so it was me and my wife spending all week just not being able to, go to the dog park, go to the park, take Vesty out to get ice cream, do all the cool stuff that we would do, take her to the different lakes or whatever. She can go into the water, go on the beach. And so that was a bit of a bummer. And then, dealing with some other issues as well. And I spent most of the week cleaning. I mean, for the first time in months, I could see wood on my desk again. there's that. So I spent some time working. But that's what I did there. And, I there's a lot of articles on the web. When it comes to being a remote worker, there's a lot of articles about, you take your work everywhere with you. I mean, how do you create this separation? And for me, the longer I work as a remote worker, the easier it is for me to say, get this technology away from me. I don't want to open up email. I don't want to be notified of the latest things. I don't want to read my feed reader. It's getting easier and easier for me to do that. Now, is it just I'm getting better at creating that separation, or is it just because I don't like doing that stuff anymore? I mean, there was a time a few years ago where even when I'm on vacation, I was checking my feed reader. I might reply to my comment. I was checking my inbox. I was doing all that kind of stuff. But now I don't want to have anything to do with it. I mean, it's easy as pie for me not to mess around with any of this stuff when I don't have to.
It's overload now, I think. When it was just the tavern and when it wasn't your phone and your computer and your iPad, and it wasn't, Twitter and Facebook and text messages and the website and email and everything, I think it was more rewarding then. We weren't flooded with, inundated with notifications and things we've subscribed to and things that are important to us. After 10 years worth of time, you just are, we're all probably a little bit over. We are encumbered with the weight of our subscriptions to feeds and emails and things we've said that we want to do or that we're going to do or that we've promised to do that maybe take longer than a day or a week or a year to go through. And you end up with a lot more on your mind and incomplete ideas and thoughts. And I don't know. I think it's probably, if you had the same amount of stuff to do as you had 10 years ago, you'd probably still feel rewarded, but you'd also be nervous for other reasons, like having a job that isn't in the tech industry like you wanted. Maybe it doesn't pay as good, or maybe the health benefits aren't as good. Like, you traded one set of worries for some other set of worries. And like, I think the unlimited vacation policy, like a lot of companies have that or say that they have that. And let's assume that that's true. Like, you are offered as much vacation time as you want to take. But I think that most companies hope that you don't take advantage of that. And if you do take advantage of that, it probably means you're not getting most of the work done that you could be getting done. And so it's an interesting part of a compensation package to say that you have unlimited vacation time, because no one's really going to do that. I think I'm like you a little bit, where I would have a tendency to take a day off every week than more than I would to take 3 weeks or a week off straight in a row or something like that. Like, I'll work a 12-hour day. I'll work a 20-hour day. I really don't care if we're getting stuff done and it's fun and rewarding, or where there's work to be done. But some days I just like the convenience of sleeping in or working super late, or knowing that, you know, my wife takes a day off and I'd like to take the day off with her to get something done. Or, you know, sick days aren't for days when you're sick. They're for days when the weather is amazing outside. And so if suddenly the clouds open up and it's 90 degrees outside, I'd like to go to the beach that day. And so does that count as an unlimited vacation day? Maybe. I think as long as you're communicative and you're not abandoning your post and you're not leaving other people high and dry, and you're not making promises that you're not keeping, you're not failing to meet expectations, then part of working from home, I'm doing air quotes right now, insecure, unsanitized air quotes, that you have that freedom to roam. And I know that you use that. You go down to the train depot and you hang out and you get lunch and you roam around and you take time to think about things. You're always around and you're always active and doing stuff. But, then your wife works a regular schedule too, right? Mine does. Carrie works a regular 9 to 5 plus is helping some other people out and volunteering for stuff and is, you know, kind of active in a bunch of other places. So, but your wife works a regular job, right?
Yeah, she works usually 5 to 1. 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Wednesday, she does a double shift. So she'll go in late at night and do price changes, and then she'll be off Thursday, work Friday. She's off on the weekends. And I've thought about how nice it would be if I could somehow go to bed at a decent time and then wake up at that time of day and I could have my mornings to do whatever. But, you know, as much as I try, it's like the night crew, the night owl in me is hard to fight away.
Yep. I have the same problem. Like, well, I'll call it a problem. I don't really think that it's necessarily a problem, but it's a problem long term when, Carrie is, she is like the schedule adherence master. Her routine, her structure, wake up early, get, you know, ride the bike or go to the gym before work, take a shower, go to work, at work all day, leaves at work at the same time, gets home at pretty much the same time. The routine is I've never had it, and I don't really find it to be that particularly comforting either. There's just so much that, like, I've definitely arranged my own life, maybe on purpose or maybe on accident. It's hard to tell, to be, reacting to thing to thing, because otherwise I'll forget to do stuff. And if I had to write everything down, I would never finish the list. And so my life is largely about the things that are the highest priority thing at the time. Because if I don't do it now, I won't do it later. Whereas I've sort of optimized it for this like very now type of thing. And she's really optimized it for like what's coming next and the order of things. And so we've somehow managed to make that work pretty well together. I'm sure she's you know, more frustrated than she probably leads on half the time about my sort of blasé attitude towards time management.
And John, stuff, but... you sit in front of the computer all day. You look at a screen all day, John. Spend some time with me.
No, it's not even like, you know, maybe there are days, where that's probably a thing, but it's not always that as much as, because she gets it. She knows the job and she's been to WordCamps and has met most, you know, most of my closer friends and people in the WordPress community that have met her know that she's laid back. She's understanding. She gets it. But, and some of the work that she's doing recently is in this industry. And so she's learning a lot about, what the expectations and what that really looks like in real life, like for herself too. So I think that's helpful for her, but it's, if any relationship where two people work different schedules by itself, regardless of the job or working from home or anything else, is really, it takes two strong, healthy minded, confident, independent people to pull that off. And so not everyone is that all the time. And some days you miss the other person more than others. And some days you want to go out and get something to eat and you can't because someone's got to work late. I mean, it's all these things. And so that's where, for me, I think the knowing that you've got years with one another, or you're willing to put up with one another, or you're willing to cope with the ebbs and flows of life, is really, really important. I think, like, Jeff, you and I have known each other as friends for a really long time. And so it's like, as we go through report, like doing podcasts or seeing each other at WordCamps or stories come and go, like it, my personal outlook on these things is that I'm not always going to be there. And when I am there, I'm going to enjoy it while I can be, right? Like, I don't know. It's you try and be patient, and you know that everything's going to work itself out, and everything's going to be okay. And I think that helps. So, and you know, the dog thing is tough. I know I sent you that link to the blog post that I had found that was going around for a while, and when I read that, I know that had hit home for me because, you know, Paul the dog is 9, I guess, now, and our rescue Penny is probably 4, that we guess. She was a rescue, so I don't really know how old she was, but I know, I mean, I've talked about it before where, Paul the dog has been such an important part of my life for so long. And I really did, he went on vacations and road trips, and I had taken him with WordCamps to WordCamps. And even a really long time ago, and I'm thinking about this now, is because Aaron Jorbin tweeted something out about WordCamp Boston from, gosh, it was probably 2010 or 11. And I had to follow John Rezig, which was an impossible task at the time. And my slides didn't work, and the projector didn't work, and the microphone was broken after John stepped down, and like the room emptied because it was like the best tech talk that anyone in the world had ever seen anyone give. And so there was nobody in the audience for me to give this buddy press talk at WordCamp Boston and however long ago. And, but at the time, me and, I think probably Aaron Jorbin and, Daryl Cooper Smith and a bunch of others were like sharing an apartment with a friend of ours, and Paul the dog was like hanging out with the person we were staying with had a dog. And so he came on vacation with me and sat and had a puppy play date by himself. And so like even Paul the dog has met a bunch of, you know, WordPress friends and colleagues and stuff. And so it's hard, I think, you know, one of the things, and maybe we'll post the article in the show notes if we keep talking about it, but the thing about dogs, or I mean cats probably too, I haven't had a cat for a really long time, and I think I'm more allergic to cats than dogs, and so I don't really have the same feeling towards cats that I have towards dogs at this point in my life. But you know, the Paul is communicative. He's like a little person. He understands me. He gets me. He knows how to say he's hungry. He knows how to say he needs to go outside. He will snuggle me, cuddle with me, be patient, hang out by himself. He's just happy all the time to see and be with anybody. And so Something that this article kind of had hinted to was the reason why we people have a tendency to take the passing of their pets so hard is because they accept us no matter what. Whereas maybe your friends or partners or family doesn't always just accept you no matter what. And
the crux of that article was you're dealing with so many aspects of grief all at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's magnified. And by the way, speaking of pets, it was a really cool article. I've been wanting to see an article like this written. I should have done it, but I didn't. But it's on Torque Magnet. It's called The Pets of WordPress. Yeah. And it highlights different people of the WordPress community and who their pets are. So, you know, there are cats, there are dogs, there are fish, there are, you know, tarantula. I don't know, tarantula. There's other different kinds of pets. Lizards, I think, was on there at some point.
So I'm pretty sure, you know, Andrew Norcross has a pig.
There you go. Which, pigs I've actually seen make great pets.
I've heard that too.
But yeah, I mean, pets are the pets and the way the impact they have on our everyday lives, and just, you know, I really enjoy being able to just get up from the desk, you know, if I'm working on an article, whatever, get up from the desk and just go pick her up and pet her, mm-hmm. or go outside or play hide and go seek with a milk bone biscuit.
Right.
I mean, there's stuff like that. And now I just find myself kind of moping and working a lot and, sure. and not really doing any of those breaks, not really going to the park because it's not as fun going to the park now, just sitting there or walking by ourselves, me and my wife without the dog. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we've been dealing with all that, and that was kind of a highlight into why my staycation was a bit of a bummer. But I've got another vacation coming up in September. It's a wedding anniversary one. Hopefully that's better. It should go better. If it doesn't, I think we've got a Houston. We got a problem. You know.
So are y'all going to end up getting another dog eventually, or what's your threshold for that? What are you thinking?
I want one. I mean, I'm ready for one. It's going to be a while for my wife, and she'll let me know when she's ready.
Well, it's good that you're talking about it. I mean, you don't want to rush into something like that, obviously, but it's good that you're talking about it because I think that type of companionship is important in a person's life, and it's hard. I think it's really hard to find that same relationship in another person. Honestly, I think it's a very unique type of relationship that the right puppy soulmate can give another person. So, you guys will figure it out.
Yeah, she sure as hell, our dog, made life so much better that it's mm-hmm. such an incredible void to try and fill. And you can't fill it with another dog. You can't treat the new dog and expect everything to be the same as it was with the other. That's just not fair to the dog and to the people. And we've talked about that, and I told my wife that, and we recognize that, which is why we're trying to take our time and trying mm-hmm. trying to get to the point where we can have a sort of a fresh mind when we get a new dog.
I read there's a book that came out a long time ago, about now, probably 6-7 years ago, called A Dog's Purpose. And when I read it, I mean, it's an interesting book. It's a pretty simple read because it's written from the perspective of the dog. And recently they made a movie out of this book. And I guess I'm not ashamed to admit live on the show that by the time the movie was done, I had cried probably 12 times. Because it's really a lot. Like, it's a really good movie, but it was positioned, and they really did a good job of making a relatively long book into a less than 2-hour movie, and covered pretty much every aspect of the book itself. And they had gotten under fire, and someone took some footage of one of the dogs that was in the movie. Like, there's a scene where they have to film it in a bunch of water that's rushing, like a river or whatever. And somebody took it, and they dubbed in some audio, and they tried to make it look like they were abusing these dogs. And then, like, the real footage came out that none of that was real, and they had doctored it all up. It was really bizarre, but the movie turned out great. It's just, a little bit of an emotional roller coaster if you're into if you like dogs, you have dogs and all that. It's a good movie, but yeah, you may want to watch it late at night and have a fresh tissues around.
So, folks, if you've made it this far into the show, congratulations, achievement unlocked. You may be wondering, what the hell does any of this have to do with WordPress? But John and I were talking a little bit before the show. We don't have a guest on today. We're sort of going to catch up on some. We do have some news to get to, which we'll get to here in a little bit. But we figured, hey, you know, with all these shows, you know, we could talk about WordPress. We could talk about the tech. We could talk about all this other stuff. But every now and then, I think it's kind of nice to sit back and sort of get the realities of the world. You know, let's hear what people are really dealing with and how are they dealing with it and what's impacting them right now. And what is their thought process like right now? And just sort of, I would think that it gives the listener a chance to maybe get to know the person a little bit better on a personal level. You know, when you start to understand some of the personal intricacies that are going on in their lives. And for some other people, maybe they could, you know, could care less about all this stuff. And they just want to hear the news, which, you know, I appreciate that view as well. But hey, I think it's kind of nice to just kind of go over some of that stuff on the show, and I think it's a lot of people out there can relate to it.
I think that's why I liked listening to the Tavern originally, and why I was excited to have you ask me to be a part of it is because it's what the Tavern is relaxed and laid back, and people should feel comfortable being themselves and sharing their stories and. I think that's more of the vibe that I'm comfortable with and appreciate. So it's, I've always enjoyed you sharing, stuff about yourself and your perspectives on things. So
if you go to the comment section of the Tavern, be sure to wear a hard hat. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. How's that for your laid back atmosphere? All right. So we have some things to talk about. One of the first is that if you're listening to this show on Pocket Casts, wow, thank you. You maybe have found a way to fix the issue. But last week when I was on staycation, the Tavern experienced quite a few technical difficulties. In fact, we've been experiencing issues with the site for the past few months, but they peaked last week with downtime, and there's so many errors that were being generated. So we worked with our host, which is Bluehost. That's who's hosting WP Tavern, and they switched us from a VPS to a dedicated server that has more powerful hardware. Now, since the migration, we've noticed that the site is more responsive, it loads quicker, and from what I've seen, hasn't generated any errors. However, if you encounter an error, experience any problems with the Tavern, please get in touch with me or Sarah, or send us a reply at WP Tavern on Twitter so we can look into it. And in addition to those issues, a number of listeners reported that they were unable to access recent episodes of WordPress Weekly through Pocket Cast. And this was after I had already fixed the episodes for Apple's podcasting app, Stitcher, and other applications. Now, these MP3 issues were driving me bonkers. I mean, I was ready to put my head through drywall, which probably wouldn't have hurt too bad because drywall is pretty soft. But, and I don't know from experience. So what I did is I reconverted the MP3s, the episodes, three different times with different software. I actually downloaded some MP3 diagnosis software and confirmed that the files were not corrupted, and Pocket Cast was still not available, still not able to pick up the new episodes. And then Josh Eby, a listener to the show, said that he deleted the Pocket Cast app along with the data from his device. He reinstalled it, resynced his library, and he was able to download the most recent episodes of WordPress Weekly, and it worked fine for them. So if you're a Pocket Cast user and having issues, which you may not even be able to hear, you know, on this show because you're having issues, but try deleting and removing the data from the app from your device. Like for me, it was my iPhone. Reinstalling it and then resyncing your library for WordPress Weekly. I actually did those steps and I was able to get WordPress Weekly working again on Pocket Cast. And I've triple checked. It works on iTunes. It works on the podcasting app, and it works on Stitcher. So I'm hoping at this point in time, I have figured it out and everything is working again as it should, because the issues I've been having with the MP3s and some of these apps have been really, I don't know, pissing me off, you know, to put it lightly.
Right.
So well, it's hard to diagnose. It's not a thing that, you know, you should really have to worry about.
Like, why is this working here, but it's not working there? Hello?
Now you deeply understand, like, every single support person's job on, like, a day-to-day basis. Like, yes. Every support request.
I cannot reproduce.
Yes, right. Yeah, unable to duplicate. Please, you know, try again later.
Right. Speaking of WordPress, WordPress 4.8.1 will add a dedicated custom HTML widget. When WordPress 4.8 was released last month and introduced Tiny MCE or Visual Editor functionality to the text widget, unfortunately, this caused issues for those who use custom HTML, as the Visual Editor often strips out portions of the code, which if you've ever tried to put code into the Visual Editor for writing posts, probably understand what this is talking about. So 4.8.1 beta 1 was released about a week or so ago, and what this does is it's a dedicated custom HTML widget specifically for adding arbitrary HTML to your sidebar. So there's it has a couple of different filters and whatnot. Those who access text widgets and who have custom HTML in WordPress 4.8.1 will actually see a note at the top of the widget that suggests using the custom HTML widget. Now, there's also a admin notice that will pop up if you try to post HTML or code in the visual portion of the text editor. And it will actually say, hey, we noticed you just tried pasting code here. Perhaps use the text tab or use the dedicated HTML widget. And, of course, the custom HTML widget works very similar to the default text widget, which was in WordPress 4.7 and below. Now, 4.8.1 was supposed to be released yesterday, but due to a last-minute revert dealing with performance issues of a commit, it was delayed a day. And after the dev chat today, they're going to go through the release process again. And so by the time you listen to this episode, you should already see the update notice, or have already updated your sites to 4.8.1. And using the visual editor or posting code in the text widget should be a heck of a lot easier as well. So and now we look at the situation. Now we have a dedicated custom HTML widget. We have a text widget, which has visual editor functionality. We've got an image widget. We got a video widget. We got an audio widget. I mean, let's widget everything. I don't... It's pretty crazy, and if you look at the amount of Weston Reuter is doing so much work on this text widget, it's like, wow, you know, I never thought all this stuff would be so complicated and cause so many issues, so many things you got to think about.
Well, WordPress over the years has had its fair share of it's individuals that just get it and have a knack for going in and being trusted to make huge strides towards things. I mean, Coop did a lot with the media gallery. Scott Taylor did a lot with a bunch of code cleanup and performance stuff and refactoring and stuff. Boone did taxonomies. I mean, everyone starts owning something, but Weston with the customizer touches everything. It integrates with everything. And so Weston has been deep into everything between UI and the customizer and backend performance stuff and the way widgets and short codes and stuff work for a few years now. So it's kind of, I mean, I have my own opinions on the complexity of WordPress, which, you know, we can choose or not choose to talk about, but it doesn't surprise me that Weston's going through and kicking butt on all these individual little things. The bringing Tiny MCE into the text or HTML widget is one of those features that everyone had wanted for a really long time, but because of just the added complexity that Tiny MCE brings and introduces, there were just so many edge cases with having it there that the old text widget became the Tiny MCE widget, and now there's a new text widget that kind of works like the old text widget before it became the Tiny MCE widget. And so, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, the like Donico worked on WordPress MU by himself for a really long time. Andy Peatling worked on BuddyPress by himself largely for a really long time. Sam Bowers, Mike Adams worked on BBPress by themselves for a really long time. I mean, heck, even Matt worked on WordPress kind of by himself for a really long time. And so granted that Weston isn't necessarily by himself, but when you start refactoring these big features like this or features that have been largely untouched or the same for a really long time, it's hard to have enough unit tests. It's hard to have enough eyes on it. And it's unsurprising to me that some weird, fragile stuff ended up being broken that necessitated another text widget to solve the problem. So I don't know. I mean, there are days where I'm actually surprised that more stuff doesn't break on a day-to-day basis. And then there are days where I think like, oh, come on, like this should have been easier. This should have been more straightforward. And I don't mean to like be a critical from the bench or anything, but at least we're able to react to these things quickly, and we have a really solid contributor team that can pick up the ball and run with it in case somebody drops it. It's, you know, what are you going to do? Life goes on.
SiteLock, a website security company, some of you may be familiar with them. They've actually sponsored quite a few WordCamps this past year. They've acquired Patchman, which is a Dutch security startup that offers automated vulnerability patching and malware removal for hosting providers. So prior to this acquisition, SiteLock protected 6 million sites, of which 2.2 million of them were running on WordPress. After the acquisition, SiteLock's customer base is now 12 million sites, with more than 4 million of those powered by WordPress. So what Patchman does is it detects vulnerabilities in different software. It quarantines and patches the threats automatically. And the quarantine feature actually neutralizes malicious files by removing them from public access. And Patchman supports detection and patching for WordPress 3.x and later, which is kind of weird because WordPress kind of does that on its own. You know, it's kind of core where the different point releases will actually patch things in WordPress. So there's that. Congrats to SiteLock in acquiring Patchman. And Patchman seems kind of familiar to me. I think, you know, it's almost like I remember seeing it in the back end of cPanel, like a control panel install.
Something like that. And 12 million is a lot of sites. It doesn't seem like it when we like to talk about WordPress being, you know, 28% of the web and, you know, so many 60, 40, 80, you know, 100 million, whatever sites it is now. But for any size organization, 12 million, that's a lot of millions. So congrats to everyone for you know, building something up that you know, seems to it's got a pretty interface too. Look at that. I'm kind of checking it out now, which I probably shouldn't be, but yeah, I mean, that's good.
SiteLock has not yet decided how the features of Patchman will be incorporated into its security plans for customers. The team is still jointly building out its future roadmap to give host and end customers access to a wider range of products. And although they didn't disclose revenue generated by SiteLock's WordPress security products, about 30% of its newly expanded customer base is running on WordPress. So there you go. SiteLock is going to continue investing and be a part of WordPress. And now they've just, you know, that's a heck of an acquisition. They just doubled their customer base like that.
No kidding.
Adobe has announced that they will discontinue Flash support and updates in 2020, much to the joys and cheers of everybody, I think, at this point.
You know, there's a group of people. Did you post about this? That there's a group of people that want to open source it, or that they're petitioning Adobe to open source the binaries and stuff for Flash itself? They want to kind of keep it alive so that Flash games work. And so that everything that was built with Flash doesn't just suddenly become like completely impossible to play or work with or use.
No, I didn't write about that, and I didn't see that mentioned here. But, you know, as we've seen, most browsers, especially throughout the last, I'd say, 2 years, have been moving towards blocking Flash already. So it's hard to use if you can't use it within within different browsers. But yeah, I didn't even think about how am I going to waste so much time if my Flash games don't work?
Yeah, right. It's so a friend of mine used to work for, and it's still pretty close with, the Long Now Foundation. They've got an office in San Francisco, and they've got a lounge called The Interval where they'll do talks and stuff. It's really cool. It's a beautiful place. Everyone that runs it over there that I've met is super great. But they concentrate a lot on like the longevity of data and the importance of keeping things accessible and alive. And so they, when I had read that Adobe was for sure starting to sunset Flash, that was my first concern. It was like, oh goodness, what happens to all of these old Flash games and these old there were thousands and thousands of those. And so if those just disappear forever, because it's closed source, proprietary, specific to Adobe kind of thing, then that's really too bad. I mean, we're pretty lucky when it comes to like old school video games that, you know, if you want to find a way through the murky places of the web to get yourself an emulator and some ROMs, you can find your old school video games and play them in one way or another, just as an archive of being able to have them, which is more important than anything else. If those just disappeared forever, how sad would that be? So,
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I love and support the Web Archive, the Wayback Machine. I can't tell you how many times I've accessed that incredible resource. And Sarah went on to say that Adobe's announcement was met with thanks and good riddance, with many calling for an even speedier timeline. But she also mentioned the fact that many are concerned that about all the orphan content and .swf games on the web that Flash's disappearance will create. And she says that Adobe has received many requests on Twitter for the company to consider open sourcing it, but the company has not yet officially responded to those requests.
I really hope that they do. Jeffrey Veen, who founded Typekit, which was acquired by Adobe, he went on a very polite rant on Twitter about just how difficult of a piece of technology that Flash was to work with, even with. And it's kind of part of the problem that Typekit aimed to solve was making fonts, pretty fonts available to the web, which was part of what Flash used to be used for back in the day. Remember the if you wanted like pretty headers, like H1, 2, 3 tags, that there would be a plugin or a little snippet to bring in, use Flash to like print all the text in a little Flash file to make it. It was terrible. Those are like Stone Age days, but these were the things we had to do back then to make the web of look pretty. At the end of Jeff's tweet storm, he says the open web prevails. And so I hope that it does. I hope that it really truly prevails with an open sourcing of that code so that it can be worked on and keep everything alive for even just for archival purposes.
And one of the things on my bucket list with regards to, I've been thinking about this. I swear I've tried to do this in the past. I'm going to try and do it again, but I want to get the founder of the Wayback Machine and the Internet Archive on this show, because I find that topic of archiving the internet fascinating. The amount of documents and videos and the amount of space and the power needed to do that, and what happens, and sort of the, they talk about, we have all these libraries today that a lot of people don't really necessarily use, even though the services they offer, especially in the realm of the digital age, they've gotten better. I think libraries are hugely underutilized in various communities, but that's a different topic. But we have libraries where you can look back on articles, and you have the different like the National Archives, and you can look back through things with paper, physical. You know, it's not, it just doesn't disappear unless like it burns up or something. But on the internet, you know, we like to think that there's a million copies of everything out there. And I don't, a lot of times I don't find that to be the case. I mean, when a domain disappears, boop, it's gone. You know, all the content with it is gone, unless it was archived by the Wayback Machine and had a spider or something in its, was an htaccess file that allowed it to be crawled by the Wayback Machine so it could be archived. But with everything on the internet, it's like history is so fragile with the internet, where if you don't take the right precautions or you don't get to it in time, things can disappear. History could disappear so easily.
Yep. Yeah, it's a big deal. I think so I remember when I first discovered the Wayback Machine as it was, and very, very hilariously named after Rocky and Bullwinkle, but thinking what an enormous undertaking that must have been back in 95, 96, to keep a copy of everybody's websites just forever. Like, what an incredible amount of data and kind of foresight to have, to think like, oh yeah, well, it's not enough to just have one website. Let's try and have all of them like forever, and go back to all of them and keep a copy of them on a monthly, daily, whenever kind of basis. So it's an incredible idea. It'd be cool to have Brewster, I think. I don't know if he's around anymore or if he's still involved.
Yeah, Brewster sounds familiar. He gave a presentation, I believe it was in, I want to say WordCamp Portland or WordCamp Seattle. Yeah, he did a WordCamp presentation, and he mentioned how WordPress was going to have some role in the Wayback Machine. I'll have to actually look it up, but if you actually look up Internet Archive on WordPress.tv, you'll find his presentation, and it's pretty cool.
WordCamp Portland 2013. Oh, that would have been fun. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I'll have to get in touch with him, and if he's around or he's available, boy, you know how that would be an epic show. I'd love to have him on. That would be fun. So that blog, yeah, that cool domain registrar.
I got myself one of those.
It passed 100,000 registrations, and 66.5% of the dot blog domains purchased are in use. So people are not just hoarding. The majority of people are not just hoarding them or doing whatever. They're actually using them.
That's a cool number. It's cool to have that too. Like, I would imagine you don't get that statistic from a lot of the top level domains. I mean, I use mine. I mean, probably not as much as I should, but yeah, I definitely use mine.
JJJ.blog, right?
JJJ.blog. Yeah.
How about that? The extension is averaging 300 new .blog domains registered per day, and is quickly gaining popularity among new generic TLDs. And in terms of registrar market shares, I don't think it's any surprise that Automattic is in the lead there with the most registered .blog domains. Other makes up 13.4%, and then the rest are spread out amongst Tucows, GoDaddy, United Domains, Namecheap, and a couple of other domain registrars. It says the .blog team has started experimenting with different marketing programs to promote the extension among registrars and launched its first campaigns last month. So that's pretty cool. So .blog, hey, it's moving on up in the world of domains.
I like it. It's the word blog, I feel like, is not going to go anywhere anytime soon.
Well, when this was first announced, I said, no, wait a minute. Blogging's dead. That blog dead. WordPress doesn't do blogging. Blog's gone. And then I heard news that, no, we're going to create this new domain called .blog. I said, okay, well, that's it. Blog's never dying.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's like the story of the iPod, like podcasting. That word podcast is, it'll take a lot for that word and what this is to turn into a different word and get called something different. We still call it television, and it's not even that anymore. But how often do you still say you're going to tape something and there's no tape anywhere in your house?
I'm going to DVR it.
Yes, these are words that are, they're not going to go away. It's an iPhone and nobody even wants to answer the phone that's on the dumb thing. I don't want a phone in my iPhone ever.
That's the truth.
Anytime someone calls, it's like, well, I'm not answering that. I don't care who you are. You're going to go to voicemail and we will text or talk or something else later.
Well, they created something like that. They call it the iPod.
But there's no cellular in an iPod. You have the iPod Touch, but there's no cellular in it. It's just a Wi-Fi only thing. Well, that's no good. I want something that works everywhere I am, but I don't want the phone to work ever.
I know. And I was just thinking the other day, like, you know, outside of emergencies or occasionally talking to my parents, I barely ever talk to people anymore. Yeah. However, there are those times where, like, especially with my mom, who's really gotten into texting, I'll just be like, why are you texting me? Just call me. If you're going to text me all this, just call me. Let's talk over, because it's a lot easier to talk about something than having to text 500 lines back and forth. So the audio portion of a phone still has its merits.
I will forget the credit. I have no idea who tweeted this. I'd have to look it up in order to accurately credit them. But they had said something that I thought was pretty profound, in that we probably, humans today, read more words than they've ever read before and also read fewer paragraphs.
Yeah.
It's like, that's wow. Totally
that's
true.
Totally me.
Yeah, me too, for sure. That's and totally I had zero phone calls. I never want to answer the phone.
Let's see. Yeah, I've noticed that. Okay, I'll get through the paragraph here. I'll get through paragraph here. Next thing you know, I'm scrolling down. I'm looking at how far does the scroll wheel have to go down. Well, don't have time for this. I'm moving on.
It's true.
It's kind of hurt me in a lot of ways with regards to my job and trying to comprehend things and trying to take my time. I don't want to get into that. I'm getting into
stuff. That's why being a good writer is important. Like, you and Sarah are both really good writers, I think, with completely different writing styles.
Yes, completely different writing styles.
But all of the things that you guys write on the Tavern are really well thought out, well written, like nicely edited articles from the both of you. I feel like I know what to expect when I read them. I know what to expect in the comments for sure. And then I know it's reliable. It's like a reliable reading experience. And that by itself, I think, is the reason why people would read a blog or come back to something and read a long form thing. Obviously, Matt is a huge fan of long form writing. It's really the emphasis of WordPress, honestly, when it comes to just what it is as a content platform. Its priority is writing. It's not plugins or themes. All that stuff is fun, but it is for publishing and writing stuff on the web. So I'm with you where big, long articles are like, but if you're good at writing, then hopefully the first two sentences or words or something will hook somebody. I think about that with like YouTube commercials. Like, a lot of the times during the day, I'll just have YouTube on in the background on the Apple TV or in a browser tab. And you can, on the Apple TV, you can skip a YouTube commercial, most of them after about 5 seconds. Yeah. And there's a little icon that pops up and says, hold to the right to skip this ad. And I think to myself, how has no marketing team really doubled down on like making really good 5 second commercials? You've got 5 seconds to get me captivated by what it is that you are going to talk to me about for the next however long. And if you haven't hooked me in 5 seconds, I'm going to skip your thing. And so some commercial comes on for Chevy trucks. And I think, there's no way I'm going to watch. I am not the target market for a Chevy truck right now. But if it was the right 5 seconds, maybe I would have watched the commercial, but it never is. 5 seconds is like a truck driving in a dusty mountainside, and maybe there's a moose standing there, and the moose is looking all moose-like. And I think to myself, like, I'm not going to go out moosing.
Big, tough, strong guy in construction.
Yeah. Career. And that's clearly me. I know that those. I don't know if you've seen me, Jeff. That is me. They model those commercials after my torso and chiseled chest. But I'm not going to buy a truck, but I might consider it. I mean, I wouldn't, but with the right ad spot, at least I'd be happy, or I'd talk about it, or it would be a funny commercial, whatever, but it never is. So, but you guys write good articles. You get people hooked in the first couple of words or sentences, and that's how people work. That's how we read. That's how we pay attention to things. So I don't know. What do you do?
Let's talk about something you may know something about.
Maybe.
Too many something, something there. Buddy Press 2.9 was released, named La Lombarda, named after a restaurant established in 1922 in the UK. It's available for download or upgrade in the WordPress backend. It contains a handful of small but notable improvements, and maybe you could highlight some of those. I know that my favorite one here is the ability to safely edit a group slug from the dashboard and have it automatically redirect. I said, ooh, I know what that one's about, so that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that my favorite things about BuddyPress 2.9 are not even about the software itself, which is probably like a disappointment, I guess, but for the past year or two, I feel like we have really, the team of contributors has stepped up to fill the gaps of people like myself and Boone and Paul, who are not as heavily active on the day to day. And so BuddyPress 2.9, the thing that made it great was how hands-off that the leadership team was able to be, because the contributor team behind it now is so incredibly good and strong. So, and that's something that we've, it's taken a little bit of time, but over the course of the past year and two, it's kind of been this way where they're releasing the entire plugin, bundling it, packaging it, testing it. You know, we'll step in and help if someone needs it, but we're letting them roll with it. And so, I think that's the thing that I'm the most excited about. And, I might skip ahead a little bit, since I know we already did your pick of the week as an intro, but I had a meeting this weekend, and Boone and Paul know a little bit about this, and we've talked about BuddyPress.org and BBPress.org for a really long time. But the themes that are on those websites are my design and brainchild from 2010. And they've treated us well, I think. They're not the ugliest websites on the web today. And WordPress.org is sort of built in a way where you have to have pretty simple markup, and it's easier to have shared headers across track and other pieces of software if the websites themselves are pretty simple. But one of the things that has been a problem as the teams have grown and the software itself has grown is that people want to be able to edit the websites easier, update images, or add all of the things to a WordPress site that they could normally do, but they haven't been able to because all of that stuff gets committed to Subversion. The images, the assets, everything needs to exist in not a traditional WordPress kind of way. And so,
which is what they mean by, well, if you want to change something on the site, it's all open source. Well,
yeah.
I don't want to go through Subversion and all that stuff if I want to just update something simple on the site.
Yep. And so that's, it's worked fine enough, but it's been pretty inconvenient as the team has grown and as people's expectations of what a WordPress site should be have all kind of evened out. And so, with a lot of recent improvements across WordPress.org and with the Make networks and sites and those kind of things, that I sat down and I've been sort of thinking about what a redesign for BuddyPress and BBPress.org should and would look like. And Tammy Lister has helped out. Ryan Fugate has sort of helped out a little bit here and there with some ideas. And so we have decided to go the other direction with these sites and trust the theme for BuddyPress.org and BBPress.org to an actual theme designer company people that are really good at making themes instead of having it be ours to do instead. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't want to drop this on you. And full disclosure, right? They're not. It's not like this is a company that's paying for sponsorship dollars or ads or anything. But there's a WordPress theme shop called Array Themes, and so we're going to use the paperback theme from Array Themes on BuddyPress.org and BBPress.org with a pretty big emphasis on. Not just the software and downloading the software and obviously the support forums and all those kind of things. But one, we really want to show off what BuddyPress and BBPress are capable of. And the easiest way to do that is with images and captivating imagery to show off the prettiness of it and the features of it. But also, I want to be able to talk about the people that are contributing to the software actively, the people that used to contribute to both of those projects as just alumni. Cause I don't like that. Like the, if you go to WordPress.org, I don't know if it's WordPress.org/about,
well, they have a little section where they thank people.
And we have a section for that in, on the about page that we've kind of lifted from this, but this is clearly just a very small subset of the people that, are involved or contribute or are really in there in the deep. And so, like we talked about, Weston being a huge powerhouse with the customizer, but we don't have Weston's name isn't on the about page. Jeremy Felt as a maintainer of multi-site, Jeremy's name isn't here. And so it's just too bad that this page kind of falls out of attention and then people don't update it. And then who qualifies to be here? What does that look like? What does that mean? The lead developers are pretty obvious. Design maybe is obvious, but as you go, it's a little bit less clear what this means. And then for BuddyPress and BBPress specifically, there are a lot of people that are offering pro services for those plugins, the same as people do for easy digital downloads or WooCommerce or something else. And so to not give them some semblance of a sounding board or credits for one, their contributions to the open source projects, but two, to give them a place to talk about what their professional services are that they offer around them, I think it's important to prove that there are a lot of people involved and to let the community decide what ends up there in Slack or by pinging one of the leads or getting involved and saying, hey, this should be changed or this should move around or whatever else. And so we're going to try and just go full WordPress theme on all of those sites. Let people upload the images that they want. We'll make sure we've got editors that can change content and move stuff around. And we'll end up using the paperback theme from Array Themes. And Mike and John, I sat down with them on Sunday and had the conversation with them. And they're totally cool with it. They're on board. And then Ed, Tammy and Mike Eisenwasser from Buddy Boss has stepped up to help with whatever the little customizations and tweaks that we might need. And so BuddyPress 2.9 is great, but I'm really excited about really more or less handing these sites over to the community in a lot more detail to let them really design and go to town with the sites themselves in a WordPress way that doesn't necessarily require meta access and patching Subversion to do it. So that is my pick of the week. One is the paperback theme from the folks at Array Themes, but two, that they're giving us the theme to use and willing to help make the sites great. So
make BuddyPress site great again.
I knew you were going to say that as soon as I said that.
Come on.
Put it on a T for me. Had to hit it out.
That's my pick of the week ahead of time and what I think. 2.9. The other thing about BuddyPress 2.9, not that I could talk about it forever because I could, but we continue to make a bunch of tweaks and performance improvements, caching improvements, query improvements, a lot of that stuff, which is important for a piece of software like BuddyPress. It's a big thing. And Ray and Paul and everyone have, and that we've added more contributors than we've ever had before. It has a huge amount of momentum, more than it has had in a long time. I'm just excited for the direction that it's going now. It's really great.
And congrats to Hugo Ashmore, who actually led the release.
Oh, yeah.
2.9. And who's on,
Mercy
who's
me,
on tap for 3.0?
We
don't know yet.
Maybe no. Boone has talked about it. I've talked about it, and we'll see what the future holds. Maybe something different. We'll see.
Well, it won't be you. You've got big press to handle 2.7, 6.7. All right. Last item on our agenda today is that there's a new plugin called. It looks like Dobby. I don't think it's Dobby, so I'll just say
Dobby. It's definitely Dobby.
So if with the right combination of plugins and events, especially those who maintain client websites, you may have noticed that when you log into the back end of WordPress, there's 16 notices everywhere. So admin notices, upgrade notices, upsells, things that are dismissible, which really aren't dismissible. You know, it's really a chore to try and delete those. We've mentioned plugins and talked about the topic before the Tavern, but Thorsten Frohman created this Dobby plugin, and what it does, it takes all the admin notices, dashboard notices, and groups them all together and color codes them so that they're easier to see. So it doesn't take up a huge chunk of your dashboard. It's just in one place, and if you want to review what the notices are, you just click a little button, and it shows you, and then based on your colors and whatnot, it'll show you. You know, the ones that you probably should take notice of. Mm-hmm. Frohman said it was the plugin was kind of just a joke, but since people liked it, he ended up polishing it and releasing it to the plugin directory. And he says, since there's only two strings within the first 10 minutes of requesting translations, he ended up getting German and Dutch translations for the plugin because, of course, the UI only has two strings. So it's like a 5-minute translation job. So there's that plugin, and then a couple of the comments are saying, you know, what are we doing here? Why there's an argument of, well, instead of supporting this or using a plugin to get rid of a plugin's cruft, why not just use a different plugin? Why not search for an alternative that doesn't do this to begin with? But if you look at the state of things in the WordPress plugin directory, almost every plugin, it doesn't matter how big or how small, has some kind of freaking notice. And this is why we had this discussion about WordPress admin notices. And should there be a WordPress notification center in WordPress that plugin developers and other developers can hook into? So there you have your updates and you have your, I guess you would have your upsells and your admin notices and other notices as well that you could tie into, like this whole notifications API, so to speak. And I haven't checked in on it. I don't think there's been a lot of movement there on that idea, but it certainly seems like it's getting to the point now where we're going to need to corral these into some one single central location within WordPress instead of having notices everywhere.
You know, I totally agree with Otto in your comments, and he put it in a way that only Otto could, that why do people continue to use plugins that add these, is his words. And anything that does any plugin that adds these kind of notices or that it's just so it's so terrible for users to do this. And Apple is a company that we all talk about, and I hate to use them for examples and stuff all the time, but if every iOS app that you somehow plugged its way, and it's starting to happen, but if every app pushed itself to everything all the time and was constantly in your face and everything that you did and you had to do something with it would be really annoying. And some of them are like that. Some apps are more obtrusive than others, and that's their choice. And if you want to use those apps, you do. And if you don't, you don't have to. And so, but admin notices like this, it's the same thing with like the pointer API. Like I know that there are some plugins like I think Yoast's SEO plugin uses a lot of pointers for things, and they're really cool, but they're not the right thing for the thing that they use it for. And if the plugin or if the code or if the thing that you built is so complicated that it requires that much additional like little interruptions, then you're optimizing the wrong solution to the wrong problem. This is where video game design comes so deeply ingrained in my mind, of just how important it is to make plugins obvious and clear in what they do. And if you can't, then you have to come up with a different direction or way to do it. It's part of what I think even made WordPress so easy to use back in the day, is that there were only so many things to do, and all the things that you had to do all worked kind of the same way. And so it didn't matter if you were in poster pages or users or plugins or themes, because they all used a list table and they all kind of looked and worked the same. But now we've got menus and the customizer and widgets, and they're all different. And now that it's all different means there's more for someone to learn. And so if your plugin has 50 different interfaces and some tabs over here and links over there and buttons over here and like everything all over the place, then why? If it's really this complicated, then you need to invent a better workflow for these things instead of a button that explains what the button does. So you can push two buttons to have to know what one button does. It just doesn't make any sense. It's just the wrong direction to go. So I'm not trying to be critical of anybody else's way of doing things, but I feel like we're all professionals and really good at this now. And so when you see a plugin like Dobby is really it's a sounding board for drawing attention and playing light at what is very clearly like a huge plugin WordPress community problem. So hopefully a plugin like Dobby, our friendly admin elf, does eventually maybe somewhat politely and playfully nudges plugin developers and designers to reconsider adding multiple or several or many admin notices to everybody's admin dashboards.
So the advice being given here is vote with your wallet, with your Bitcoin, with your Ethereal, and uninstall the offending plugin. Mm. Find an alternative. And for the most part, there are good alternatives for major plugins out there. Not for all of them, but you know, there are pretty good alternatives out there. So that's going to do it for all the news items to get to today and this week. Next week's episode, I'm really looking forward to it. But our guest is going to be David Peralti. And it's going to be a cool episode for me, because it's going to be like a throwback era episode for me. For longtime listeners may remember that at one point, David Peralti was the co-host of WordPress Weekly, Mr. Devil's Advocate, so to speak. and he'll totally own up to that. So it's almost going to be like one of those "Where are you now?" Type of episodes, because it's been a number of years now, and he's been around the WordPress community. He went back to having a cubicle job, and now he's out and about and kind of getting back and possibly looking for some more employment in the WordPress community. And I'm going to bring him on. We're going to figure out what he's been up to and get his take on how WordPress has evolved over the years. And it'll be a great episode. I'm looking forward to it. former co-host, meet new co-host. So it'll be a cool show.
I was going to make a comment about what foreshadowing is this? Like, how many years ago was it that he was a co-host? And then how many years do I have until I'm also going into a cubicle job and then looking for gainful employment? And if this is what happens to all of your co-hosts, then it's kind of interesting to see where I'm going to be 5 years from now, I guess, and meet that person next week on the show.
And 5 years from now, here I am, Jeff Chandler, host of WordPress Weekly, and I'm under the I-70 bridge here talking to Jake.
All right. Yeah, it's pretty cold again. I'm hungry. I know they're getting sick of hearing me say that, but it's been a while since I've had food, and I'm hoping to find some.
That's going
to
be. If you love this story, go visit his GoFundMe page. All right. Yeah. So that's what we can look forward to next week's episode. And then on September September 6th. Yes, September 6th. We're going to be joined by Andrea Middleton, and that will be another awesome show. So we're going to talk about all things WordCamps and try to go into some of the serious conversations that were that had been discussed as of late. Some of these topics you could easily just do a show on by themselves, but we're going to talk about the idea of paying speakers at WordCamps, regional WordCamps. Why do WordCamps have rules to begin with? And so many other fun topics relating to WordCamps. And Andrea is a bubbly person and an awesome guest, so we'll probably have a few laughs here and there. It'll be a good show. And in between here and there, we'll see what other guests I can round up, or we'll have plenty to talk about in the WordPress space. So, with that said, you can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPTavern.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, J-E-F-F-R-0, and John?
Follow me on Twitter or GitHub at JJJ, and look forward to some, hopefully, blog posts that I will finish writing eventually someday at JJJ.blog.
And, you know, I hope you get LTE at least under that bridge. You know, so you can live blog or something.
I hope nobody calls me when I'm under that. I'm not going to answer.
Everybody enjoy your rest of your week. And we'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. So long, everybody.
Bye, y'all.